You're late.
Missy and I kept talking, and I didn't realize how late it got.
You missed a very dull TV show about Auschwitz. More gruesome film clips. And more puzzled intellectuals declaring their mystification over the systematic murder of millions. The reason why they can never answer the question, how could it possibly happen, is that it's the wrong question. Given what people are, the question is, why doesn't it happen more often? Of course it does, in subtler forms.
I have a little headache from this weather.
Oh. It's been ages since I sat in front of the TV. Just changing channels to find something. You see, the whole culture. Nazis, deodorant salesmen, wrestlers, beauty contest, the talk shop. Can you imagine the level of a mind that watches wrestling? Huh? But the worst are the fundamentalist preachers. Third-rate con men telling the poor suckers that watch them that they speak for Jesus. And to please send in money. Money, money, money. If Jesus came back and saw what's going on in his name, he'd never stop growing up.
Lone Wolf Radio here. Terrible Tommy, Lone Wolf Radio here. It is September the 14th, 2017. The other day I said 2027. Well, I'll tell you. And it's a beautiful day here in Southern California because it's starting to turn cooler. We're not getting that big old heat anymore. It's getting nice and cool. That's the way I like it. But not too cool like Indiana. I still get a lot of emails from people back there in the Midwest who think I'm in Indiana and want to come over and talk to me. Sorry, boys, I'm out of there. Don't forget to check out our telephone answering devices. I put two different messages on two different phone lines, and I'm changing them about once a week. So spread those numbers around, boys and girls. And if you got a felt pen, there you go. If I had 1,000 men with felt pens, I could get more done than with a lot of other devices and with a lot less trouble. Well, here's an email I received this morning. You knew when the Jew, Muslim, non-white scum were able to destroy Germany, our race was in serious trouble. Well, that's not surprising because they had been brainwashed ever since the Second World War. They didn't have a chance. I mean, I started my fight in 1965, this guy says, with just a subscription to Commander Rockwell's Stormtrooper magazine. If someone had told me then, just 20 years after the fall of the Reich, that Germany would one day be brainwashed into race mixing, I would have spit in their face and called them a liar. Well, I wouldn't. I realize how that stuff works. When you lose, you lose. This shit shows us all how powerful the Jew propaganda and non-white integration is and has destroyed parts of Germany. Well, I would say it is pretty much psychologically destroyed Germany, period. While much of Europe is in even worse shape. Yeah, Europe is in bad shape, but we've got nothing to talk about. And I don't count it all up to Jew propaganda. That's too easy. The right wing loves that. It's everything, you know, weather changes, it's the Jew. It snows, it's the Jew. Flood, it's the Jew. That would be very simple if that were the case, but for every Jew involved, there's maybe 100 to 1,000 white Aryans who are involved in carrying their water for them and brainwashing all of us. The pigs in uniform, almost all white, are more than happy to do the Jews' bidding and arrest and imprison white nationalists of any affiliation. Well, I'm not a white nationalist. I'm a white Aryanist, I believe, in supporting whites worldwide. We're not going to get out of this mess without winning a civil with racial and religious considerations. Well, I think you better forget the religious considerations. And you're not going to win a civil war because the civil war is not going to be coming around for a long time. There may be some uprisings, pockets of uprisings around the country, but it's probably going to be mostly led by non-whites. Anyhow, that's the story there. The only thing I can see, first thing, is a Weimar-type meltdown, number one, which they keep saying is right around the corner, but they keep stalling it. As long as they can print more money and issue more credit, it's going to keep going for a while. Well, you got to hand it to these guys, these propagandists, who can turn white women, and for that matter, white men, to where they look at a ugly, gorilla, nigger with that, oh, gee, I just would love to have his baby look. One person sent me a video of a nice blonde at a football game. She's working on the sidelines, and this ugly, gross nigger walks by, and she's just smiling and looking him up and down like, boy, I'd like him to have my baby. Well, you got to hand it to them. They really worked on this. They really worked on it. They're really going at it over there in Britain. Three men, including two British soldiers, have been charged under terror laws with being members of a banned neo-Nazi group. The terrorists I know of in Britain are in the government. They're in MI5, MI6. That's where the terror is. Now, these three guys were just charged just for being so-called members of National Action. It was the first far-right group to be banned by the Home Office in 2016. I think it's time to ban the Home Office, like our State Department. They're among five men arrested on 5 September. Two others have since been released without charge. Now, if you're not going to go lone wolf over there in Britain, you're out of your mind. I mean, you should be lone wolf here in the United States. But in Britain and these other countries where they slap you in prison for almost nothing, you got to go under, boys and girls. Under, dive, in the old submarine parlance, dive, and run at periscope depth. Why is that so fucking hard to understand? It's unbelievable how people don't have the brains to have self-preservation, yet alone do the struggle some good. West Midland Police has said the arrests were pre-planned, quote, and intelligence-led. In other words, informants were used like they always are, with no threat to public safety. Yeah, you just infiltrate every one of these goddamn groups and take them down. It's simple. My question is, I've been saying for 20, 30 years, why aren't we, or why aren't you, or why isn't somebody getting into their apparatus? Why aren't you joining up and getting involved in their apparatus, their intelligence? It's easy to do. They're always looking for young guys, you know. And if you can keep your mouth shut, which is the big problem, keep your mouth shut maybe for 10 years, maybe 20 years, and play the game. And when it comes, sooner or later it's going to come your time, and then you can do some good. Here was their big crime, and the 22-year-old is also charged with one count of distributing terrorist publication. Separately, he faces one count of inciting racial hatred, allegedly posting a number of National Action stickers at the Aston University campus in Birmingham in July 2016. It's too late for those stickers, buddy. It's too late for putting pieces of paper up on the wall. Way too late. Mr. Vavilian has also been charged with, under the Terrorism Act of 2000, for the possession of a document likely to be useful to a person preparing to commit an act of terrorism, which is putting up stickers. A 32-year-old also faces two counts of publishing threatening and abusive or insulting comments, in other words, free speech, online intended to stir up racial hatred under the Public Order Act. In other words, free speech is illegal. Totally illegal in England, and it's illegal in many other countries, and it's becoming illegal in the United States. He also has been charged with the possession of a weapon, pepper spray. You know, it's enough to make you cry, man, pepper spray. That's a terrorist weapon, something every housewife in America should be having her purse. But still, strong white men keep putting up with this bullshit from these governments, whether it's the United States or England or Germany or wherever it is. They're all the enemies of the race. I don't know much about this National Action Group, but I can guarantee you it was set up by the opposition. All of these groups are set up as false flags by the opposition. I don't give a shit how many honest guys are involved. That's what they're set up to do, is take down people. But you can't fix stupid, and there's hundreds, maybe thousands of white people that will run right out there and join some cockamamie group. They do it in this country. Most of the groups that I know of are very well led by informants. And we got the shepherds of these groups. You know who they are. But still, people run out there and follow them. A German prosecutor has demanded a life sentence for Beit Schaap, the main surviving member of a neo-Nazi gang accused of murdering 10 people. You know, these people, when they do that, they always seem to strike out at just regular people on the street. Low-level people that have no power whatsoever. Police say Ms. Schaap was part of the National Socialist Underground. Ooh, wow. Which killed 8 Turks, a Greek, and a German policewoman. Well, even then, these are poor targets. I mean, you got much bigger fish to fry than that. At least the Red Army, they got it pretty well straight. The murders took place across several regions from 2000 to 2007, but the cell went undetected for 4 more years. Ms. Schaap, 42, denies complicity in the killings. However, she has alleged through her lawyer that she feels guilty for not deterring 2 male friends from taking part. Well, you should have walked away from it. You didn't gain anything. The Turks are still there, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. Cops are still dirty. Didn't change a damn thing. So there was something faulty in your plan. What was faulty in your plan is either both stupidity and possibly informants, infiltrators. And a lot of these people always think they got to hold hands with somebody to do something. They got to have somebody to hold their hand before they do something, instead of remaining as a lone wolf or whatever. Anyhow, that's not going to do it for now. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff's going nowhere. Now, those British soldiers that were involved in this national action, it's all over the world news. Hundreds. They're wired into about every newspaper there is, telling the whole story. You see, that's what the press serve the opposition so perfectly. If you want to say the Jews, we'll say the Jews, but I would first like to clean out every white Aryan traitor. Then there wouldn't be many Jews left to deal with. Here's another you can't fix stupid. A Bellevue family finds KKK written on their driveway. Bellevue police are investigating after a family found KKK written on their driveway in some sort of rubbery paint. Now, they catch some these guys or whoever, and it may very well be a Negro did it. Anyhow, you're going to slap him with a big fine or jail time. For what? What did he gain? What did they gain? But there's always stupid people around that are going to do it, so there's not much you can do by talking about it. They're just going to do it, and they're going to pay the price. Hey, right wing, here's your Republican buddies. Senators on Capitol Hill passed this week with both speed and unanimous voice a resolution that condemns white supremacist groups and that suggests President Donald Trump ought to do the same. Personally, I hate the Republican Party worse than the Democrat Party. At least the Democrats are what they are and they're out in the open about the Republicans. So it's goddamn cowardly. Okay, the strikes are as a frightening Hail Mary move to save their own political asses. And don't forget, Republicans are in the majority. Rather than signing their names to meaningless political documents that give leftists more fuel to toss on their anti-Trump fire, Republicans could instead talk about the evils of racism by mentioning their own party's support for the Civil Rights Act. Their Democratic colleagues, unfortunately, stand on the opposite side, or they could name drop. Can you say Senator Robert Byrd and petition for the clearing of this ex-KKK'er's name from the roads and structures at key spots around West Virginia? Byrd was just a simple... In the 20s, people that joined the Klan, 99% of them were just out for business contacts like the Masons and so forth. It was not a guerrilla outfit. I don't remember any guerrilla operations in the 20s. It was just a big sort of quasi-political, Republican-oriented type group. That's all it was. They dabbled once or twice. A couple of people got excited and did something, but that, forget it. To be in a Klan in the 20s was all over the North, all over the South. It was a thing to do because it helped your business contacts and maybe get a job. If you wanted to be a fireman in Seattle, you had to be in the Klan. You wanted to be on a city council in Santa Ana, California, you had to be in the Klan. That's what it was all about. That was a bullshit Klan. There's only been one real good Klan, and that was the one who developed guerrilla warfare after the Civil War and took it to the enemy, took it to the, forget the name of the black group that the Northern senators fostered and started even before the end of the war, the Union Leagues. They were a terrorist outfit before the Klan was even invented. The niggers had their terrorist outfit. Anyhow, the Republicans have passed this wimpy, bullshit resolution condemning white supremacy. These guys are such... I mean, they're... You know, in Russia, they had, what they call them, lumpkin proletariat. These were people below the proletariat, the working class. I mean, got this movie on TV where... allegedly, the Arabs blew up the White House and killed everybody but one guy, and he became the president. And then it turns out it was an internal thing. It wasn't the Arabs at all. But I'll tell you, to be perfectly honest, I wouldn't care if they did. Well, a counterterrorism bureau advises against travel to Turkey. Well, I'd advise that any time. Running over light arms fire, operating explosive charges, and suicide attacks. Attacks were carried out by groups of several activists or lone wolves. That's going on in good old Turkey. I don't have much sympathy for any American, white American that's traveling in these foreign countries like that. Yeah, it's bad enough to be traveling in a European country, but traveling in Turkey and places like that, and then you travel at your own little risk. One thing that tickles the hell out of me is finally they're coming around on Morris D's. Yeah, finally figured the bastard out. I remember telling the press after I lost my case in Portland, Oregon, Morris D's came for me, now he's going to come for you. And it slowly got rolling, and finally it's gotten really rolling. He really got ahead of steam, attacking all kinds of people. I knew it would come to that. It always does. There's a guy whining in his local newspaper. Your article, local organization labeled a hate group by the Law Center, September 5, repeated the false label pasted on my organization by one of the most biased and corrupt groups in politics, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Your reporter went to great lengths to investigate us, but glossed over the SPLC's sordid history. The SPLC was founded by Morris Dees, who began his career campaigning for openly segregationist politicians and defending Ku Klux Klansmen in court. He actually did. He defended the Birmingham bus attackers when the Klan attacked a bus full of spades with baseball bats and so forth. But he found out he couldn't make any money defending the Klan. But while working in the McGovern campaign, Dees discovered there was a lot more money to be made by attacking the Klan, so he switched sides to start the SPLC. This information's been around for decades. But as long as he was picking on a few Klansmen and people like myself, he was okay. After helping to drive the Klan out of business, well, he drove the UKA out of business. And I wasn't in the Klan at the time that he gave me trouble. Dees ran out of authentic bogeyman to exploit and started to labeling an ever-growing number of mostly conservative organizations as hate groups. I love it. Go get them, Morris. Extremists and white nationalists, lumping them together with fringe, neo-Nazi, and Klan groups. The SPLC hate map grew to include virtually every organization like ours that think immigration laws should be enforced and serve the national interest. His work led the New York Times columnist Alexander Cockburn to christen Dees the king of the hate business. But still, these people put big separation between them and us, racial separatists. So, a pox on their house? Go get them, Morris. Clean them out, man. Clean them out. The Montgomery Advertiser newspaper had Dees in their sights way back there when they did the serial article on all of his criminality and everything else. So people don't have any excuse, except they didn't come for me. They didn't come for me back then, but now they're coming after me. Well, that ain't fair, man. The founder of a nonprofit dedicated to repairing families says she thinks being incorrectly labeled a hate group prompted the company that processed donations to drop her organization. Ruth Institute's biblical stance on issues such as gender identity and same-sex marriage led to its being labeled as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has done the same to other mainstream conservative organizations. I love it. Vanco Payment Solutions, her nonprofit's online donation processor for several years, abruptly emailed to say that we are severing our relationship with you, Jennifer Robach Morse, founder and president of the Ruth Institute, told the Daily Signal newspaper. You dirty racist bitch. The most logical conclusion is the fact that we were in the news with this hate map that the SPLC puts out, but no one has said that directly, Morse, who is Catholic, said. Well, everybody knows Morris Dees hates the Catholics. Everybody knows that. I don't know that for a fact, she added. We're just surmising that must be the case. According to a press release from Youth Institute, based in Lake Charles, Louisiana, the August 31 email notice read, Vanco has elected to discontinue our processing relationship with the Ruth Institute. The organization has been flagged by card brands as being affiliated with a product service that promotes hate, violence, harassment, and/or abuse. Merchants that display such attributes are against Vanco and Wells Fargo processing policies. How about that? Run, you cowardly conservatives, run. Richard Cohen, color him Jewish, president of the Southern Poverty Law Center, was to testify before the House Homeland Security Committee about threats posed by domestic extremist groups. They're everywhere. They're going to get you in your bed. Run for your life. The hearing scheduled for Tuesday has been postponed because of Hurricane Irma. Yeah. Don't do that to me. Then it says, as a black conservative who has been smeared by the SPLC, I am one nigger that is complaining. I recommend against re-inviting Mr. Cohen, that Jewish boy. I love it when the gefilte fish come home to roost. Workers of outed David Duke campaign contributor may be eligible for unemployment benefits. There is some good news for the workers at the Clubhouse Jager in Minneapolis who quit their jobs when their employer Julius DeRoma was outed as a campaign contributor to David Duke's failed 2016 Senate campaign. That's terrible. But why would you quit your job? That makes you as stupid as them. You know, Duke leaves these kind of people in his wake all over the place. He always has, you know. But there's always a new batch of dummies. The lawmakers of Minnesota decided that around 20 employees of Club Jager in Minneapolis who quit their jobs and closed the club after their boss, Julius DeRoma, was outed for being a campaign contributor to David Duke are eligible for unemployment benefits if they need them. These were probably mostly blacks and Mexicans or some non-white workers. However, I don't think most non-white workers, or at least Mexicans, would give a shit whether he had contributed money to David Duke. It's usually white people that go crazy. This may possibly mean that unemployment benefits exist for the workers of Omai Restaurant in Santa Cruz, who quit their jobs after a boycott occurred because their boss Roger Grigsby was outed as a campaign contributor to David Duke's failed 2016 Senate campaign. I remember when they released all the names, you know, the press, they're such bastards. They go in and get the voting information and release it to the general press. And they know what's going to happen. Anybody give $20 to a racial candidate or even just a right-winger are liable to lose their jobs and everything else. That's another reason to be lone wolf, boys and girls. On August 17, 2016, I wrote an article exposing Roger Grigsby, owner of the Omai Restaurant in Santa Cruz, as a campaign contributor to David Duke's failed 2016 Senate campaign. My story resulted in a boycott of the restaurant. Employees quit their job and the closure of the restaurant. You're such a sweetie pie. Don't you realize there's going to be pushback someday? Pushback, buddy. There's going to be pushback someday. Additionally, on August 26, I wrote an article exposing some campaign contributors to David Duke in Minneapolis, Massachusetts, and beyond, including Julius DeRoma, owner of the Club Jager in Minneapolis. This story also resulted in the boycott of the club, and many people lost their jobs. I'm a wonderful guy. I'm a great humanitarian. I get people to lose their jobs. It's got nothing to do with the story. I wrote both stories after the recent violent white supremacist rally that David Duke attended in Charlottesville. I guess there was no Bolshevik attended that. None of the Bolsheviks attended that. They weren't there. That's a figment of your imagination if you figure hundreds of leftist crazies were at Charlottesville. It's only white supremacists, which resulted in blood in the streets in Charlotte and the death of Heather Heyer when she was run down by an alleged Nazi sympathizer while she was protesting against the KKK, neo-Nazis, and white supremacists. Reportedly, 19 others were injured when the Nazi sympathizer plowed into a crowd of peaceful demonstrators. I think they had been throwing things and rocks and everything else at people. Well, anyhow, it's gotten so out of hand, it don't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. Let's see here. According to Wikipedia, David Ernest Duke, born July 1st, 1950, is an American white nationalist, politician, anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist, Holocaust denier, convicted felon, and former imperial wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. What happened in Charlottesville bothered me so much I felt I had to do something in response. So I knew I could get rid of all these workers in these restaurants by closing them down. That'll show everybody. So I decided to out some of the prominent campaign contributors to David Duke's failed Senate campaign in 2016. And I sent my stories to the local media in the Bay Area, including the media in Minnesota, including Minneapolis and elsewhere. Ain't I such a wonderful guy, you mean? I'm a progressive of the first order. I also sent my stories to Club Jager in Minneapolis and Huge Improved Improv Theater, located in a building owned by Julius DeRoma. Yeah, we're going to get that guy, man. He'll know better than to do that again. Next time, who knows? He may come at you like ISIS. You ruin some guy's business really bad and get all his employees canned. He might just get a little upset. Some of the businesses connected to those who have been outed recently for making campaign contributions to David Duke's failed 2006 Senate campaign include Roger Grigsby, owner of the O'Meal restaurant in Santa Cruz. Yeah, we heard that before. Did not fare too well. These guys didn't fare too well, these restaurant owners, in a recent report by Newsweek and the New York Times. We got to get it all over the world, boy. Both business owners were also outed in the original story that appeared in the San Francisco Bay View newspaper, and the mainstream media followed suit with their own stories as the boycotts occurred and the longtime establishment reportedly had been shut down. Boys, you need an underground. You need an underground that may turn guerrilla one day. Not terrorist, guerrilla. You're wasting your time playing the honest game. See what honesty does? You don't get anywhere. Much to my surprise, my stories gained a lot of national coverage. Oh, yeah, right. That's a big shock. and there was a boycott of all these, and they repeat all these restaurants' names again. But the real story is not about me or how I decided to go out and fuck up everybody's business. The real story is all about the amazing people who decided to make a stand against the forces of hate, the KKK, white supremacy, neo-Nazis, and the likes of KKK fascist David Duke. Now he's not only a KKK, he's been out of the Klan for 30 years, but he's also a fascist. I almost feel sorry for David Duke, but I really can't. I know too much. This includes those who quit their jobs, in addition to those who openly declared that they were going to boycott both longtime establishments owned by, and they give these names of these guys. Every paragraph they repeat the names of these guys that own the restaurants. As part of that justice, the lawmakers of Minnesota decided that around 20 employees of the Club Jaeger were going to get their unemployment. Oh, isn't that nice? Now let's see here. There's a whole bunch of other stuff about this unemployment stuff. It goes on and on. This is a long-ass article. Yeah. Well, that's about it, but it's typical. They've done this so much down through time. I've seen it happen over and over again. They didn't do it too much, I don't remember, when I ran for Congress or U.S. Senate. I think they did it, but not on this scale. Probably because too many big shots voted for me. All of that bullshit came out of the so-called San Francisco Bay Area Independent Media Center, and you can imagine what the political philosophy of that outfit is. Well, let's give David Duke a rest and go over to these guys in Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his family are embroiled in numerous scandals. Recent court documents show that the Prime Minister is a suspect in two investigations of fraud, breach of trust, and bribes. With the Israeli newspaper Israel Hayom saying on its front page recently that his indictment is imminent. Netanyahu's son Yair is being condemned in Israel and the United States for recently posting a cartoon critical of some of his father's supposed opponents. The cartoon showed the faces of George Soros, former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, and others pasted over the original faces from a classic anti-Semitic cartoon suggesting that Jews control the United States. Oh, you're not going to say Jews control the United States. Well, he said that before. Was it him or one of the other PMs said, we control your Congress? We totally control your Congress? I heard him say that. They can deny truth all the time. Truth doesn't exist. Bringing praise from KKK leader David Duke among them. Thanks a lot, Dave. You may get a Mossad visit. And Benjamin Netanyahu's wife, Sarah, is about to be indicted on charges of fraud and breach of trust, according to Israel Attorney General Achivia Mandelblit. Sarah Netanyahu has been the center of a previous controversies, including a lawsuit filed by Manny Nafili, the caretaker of the family's residence, who was awarded 170,000 shekels by the court, which of the following described scandals have been swirling around Mrs. Yahoo, Mrs. Nitwit. Well, let's listen to see a few of these things. A, according to the court case won by Manny Nafili, who is of Moroccan descent, that'll teach you to trust a non-white. Mrs. Netanyahu complained about the Sabbath meat she had been served, saying, we are sophisticated Europeans. We don't eat as much food as you Moroccans. You're stuffing us so that when they photograph us abroad, we look fat. unquote. That's what she said. That wasn't nice. They're sophisticated Europeans, those nitwits. B, when the President and Mrs. Trump visited Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, nitwit, greeted Melanie Trump saying, quote, "You know, in Israel, all the people like us. The media hate us, but the people love us, like you in the United States." C, Monique Ben Maclayi, wife of Eli Moyal, former mayor of Derat, had criticized Prime Minister Nitwit's handling of the Gaza war. In response, Mrs. Nitwit accused Ben Maclayi and Moyal of being jealous of the Prime Minister, saying, quote, "He is jealous of him, the Prime Minister, because he is so successful, because he is a great leader, and your man just babbles and babbles. Why do you have to spit into the well you drank from? What kind of person does something like that? I can't help thinking that the BBC drama Downton Abbey, with its upstairs downstairs intrigue, scheming staff, and bubbling cauldron of an endless gossip," unquote, applies to you. Another Netwit household employee, Gil Ilayuhu, pardon me for these names, said that he was awakened in the middle of the night in order to return to the Prime Minister's residence to heat up a bowl of soup for Mrs. Nitwit. He was also ordered to return to the residence once for failing to wish her good night. Quote, "You have to say good night to me before you go," she allegedly said to him. Yeah, these are nice people. They're all the same all over the world. Mrs. Nitwit kept the deposits from the bottles returned to the recycling center, even though the government had paid for the bottles that she had returned. Sounds a little bit Jewish to me. Wow. Well, there you go. That's some of the inside stuff, direct from Tel Aviv, baby. Family alleged that their 8-year-old biracial son was hanged by teenagers in New Hampshire on August 28th. Because of his race, the teens reportedly shouted racial epithets and attacked him with projectiles. The boy's uncle, Lyric Merlin, posted pictures of the nephew's neck lacerations, which some people on the internet refer to as a lynching. And I'll bet you anything it was blacks that did it. Oh, you think I'm prejudiced? Well, you're right. In the article it says, "When my sister calls me, when something is wrong, I feel it in my bones before ever picking up the phone. Tonight I was spot on. My nephew was hung from a tree by a 14-year-old who claims it was an accident." Those are interesting accidents. I don't care what kind of excuse this teenager has, but you do not play with somebody's life and hang him from a tree. Quincy was med-flighted to some hospital and is stable. There you go. That may grow into a trend, you never know. Well, an ultra-Orthodox Jewish Israeli lawmaker quit his seat on Wednesday under fire from religious colleagues and rabbis for attending a queer relative's wedding, his daughter said. Yigal Gieta recently told a radio interviewer about the marriage of his nephew, which took place 2 years ago, but still brought a harsh reaction from prominent rabbis, local media reported. Well, why aren't we charging all these rabbis with being racial criminals? Because they don't like homosexuals. They don't like those homosexuals. I don't know whether you've ever seen it, but two comedians came to my house in Fallbrook about over 10 years ago, probably 15 years ago. And they set up the story like this. "Tom, which would you choose? If a plane was being piloted by a homosexual, and a co-pilot was homosexual, and all the people on the plane were homosexuals, would you feel more prone to go on that plane, or the plane was had a black pilot, black co-pilot, plane full of blacks. I said, I'll take the queer plane. I've got that on video someplace. In fact, I think the exact statement was, I'd feel much safer. I must say, in all my years running around, no homosexuals ever tried to get to my pee-pee. I never had it happen. Never been attacked by a homosexual. And this little bit was from 1984 from the Liberty Bell magazine. Not long ago, I noticed that that ham actor, Ronald Reagan, in the White House was trying to entertain his audience by reciting some moral indignation about the wicked Soviets. From time to time, one hears the same patter from the dithering liberals and high-pressure Jesus hucksters, often with references to the Gulag Archipelago, or some more recent work by Solzhenitsyn. The boobs, of course, squeak a bit of horror at the wickedness of the Soviets, but they do not think, perhaps because they know they are not supposed to remember, that it was they who created the present regime in Russia when they permitted the most loathsome and anthropoids known into history, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, to send crazed hordes of them into Europe to punish the Germans for not worshipping Yahweh's master race and to save Soviet barbarism from the only nation that was sufficiently civilized and alert to try to preserve Aryan civilization. Americans and Americans only must bear the full gravamen of guilt for the suicide of the West, and they will be stopped from justly complaining when they experience all the admired qualities of undisguised Soviet rule in their own country. When I noticed a report of Reagan's drivel in a newspaper, it occurred to me that the readers of Liberty Bell might be interested in a passage from Gregory Klimov's Terror Machine, the inside story of the Soviet administration in Germany, New York, Prager Press, 1953. Klimov was, of course, an officer in the Russian army and recounted only what he had himself observed. Quote, whenever Russian people hear the mention of the words lend-lease, they think of cans piled up like mountains. These cans were to be found in the wildest and loneliest parts of the famous Brzezinsk forest, in the marshes of Leningrad, wherever the Soviet army passed. Russia is undoubtedly very rich, a very rich and agricultural country with inexhaustible natural resources. Yet from 1942 to 45, that country lived and fought exclusively on American products. We officers were all convinced that we could have held out without American tanks and planes, but we could have died of starvation without the American food. 90% of the meat, fats, and sugar consumed in the Soviet Army was of American origin, and almost the same can be said of life in the rear. Even the beans and the white flour were American. The one article of the Soviet origin was the black bread, apart, of course, from water. After the war, it was said that the Kremlin had provided itself with American foodstuffs for many five-year plans ahead. So that was from Klimov's book. There you go. It was totally with the help of their pro-communist government in Washington, D.C., that gave the great power to the Soviet system. We gave them a tremendous amount of things. As the author says, they were living on American food for several five-year periods of their economic programs. Obviously canned food and all kinds of stuff. So there you go, for you guys that like a little history. Without all that food, the resistance of the Soviet army would have collapsed in front of the German invaders. Well, that's about it for now, boys and girls. I'll be back tomorrow on, what is tomorrow? Well, yeah, Freya's Day. Yeah, Freya's Day in the bunker here. We'll see you then.
November 25th, 1984. It is a dark and dismal time in the history of our race. An evil shadow has fallen across our once fair land. A certain vile, alien people have taken control of our country. When the day comes,